The following is a Stick Boy We Talk production.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
I am the man.
If you're the man, what the rock is talking. Woo! The best there is.
What it is, what it do, welcome to the One Fall Podcast. Joshua Adam William Arbuthnot with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
Oh, what is this, the third one this week?
Third time is a charm, I guess. And the news didn't stop. We had said, like, unless the news was super significant, we want to do it. But the news was pretty significant, so... Combat sports world doesn't stop.
No, it doesn't.
Before we get going, I never really suggest other podcasts on here. We have a lot of news to get to, but if you really want to get into the world of boxing from like the Ali days, Muhammad Ali's former trainer was on Bill Simmons' podcast this week. It's very interesting. Just all the insights about Muhammad Ali and stuff on Don King, and also, like, he worked in the government and knew some stuff for the JFK assassination. Really interesting listen, but really just the stuff on boxing, and it's just kind of crazy to listen to that and see how far boxing has really fallen since then, and just how much of an impact the world of boxing had. So I really suggest that listen to people, because it's crazy. You just think about all the boxers there were, from Ali, and then he was with Sugar Ray Leonard as well. Really interesting listen.
Oh, nice. Well, good little plug. Speaking of plugs, I guess I'll give my own little plug. Again, I don't think we don't have any endorsement or anything, but you turned me on to a new app that I'm quite fond of already.
Grapple, yeah. Definitely check it out.
You get to, basically, it's a spot that has archived wrestling matches, and you create a little profile. It's free, and then you rank your matches how you want to rank them. So you have your own star ratings, and you get to compare with other people's star ratings, so you can follow your friends and compare how you rate matches. And it's a little archive spot that you can have for wrestling ratings. I thought it's really cool. This could be really neat for the wrestling community, of just having this spot where you can go and rate your matches and go back and forth with your friends on your ratings. And I thought it was neat.
Yeah, I definitely like it, and it's kind of cool too. Like, it's the really cool thing about that right now too is it's kind of in its infancy right now. And I mean, look, a lot of us as smarks, we all kind of go and we wait for Meltzer to see what his rankings are, but it's kind of cool to see the what everybody else in the world thinks what a match is and what the average rating is. So that's really cool, because we always spend so much time being like, oh, what did Meltzer give it? What does Meltzer give it? But now, as a collective unit, as the IWC, we can kind of see what we all think about a certain match. So I thought that's really, really cool.
So we no longer have to do as Todd Phillips said on the ENC show, that we just have to wait and see what Meltzer says.
Well, I mean, we're all still going to do that, but this is kind of nice to have.
Yeah, this is a nice little... hopefully Meltzer gets on it. That'd be great. You can't break the star ratings, so that might throw Dave off a bit, especially with Japan. But
yeah,
nevertheless, you can still have... You could see all the star ratings.
Yeah, you can also, like... You can follow John Away from Review Raw on there as well. So, pretty cool.
Yeah. And time to get to the news.
Yes, sir. Let's go.
All right. I guess we start with we found out, according to Dave Meltzer, why the NXT call-ups happened. Josh, can you guess why they happened?
Well, you know, God damn it. Hi, Seth, you good to go? Well, sir, I'm hurt. You're what? And then the rest just kind of played itself out.
So Vince rewrote the story till 2 p.m. with Bucky, Kevin Dunn. But he knew that he wanted to call these NXT guys up since Friday or Saturday, because they had to fly in, obviously.
Which we kind of figured something was up, because Johnny had that picture with the belt.
Well, so he was going to Cleveland, So it was.
He was in Cleveland. He was in Cleveland. He was leaving Cleveland. He lives in Cleveland.
So then he flew. Oh man, Seth gets hurt. This is a very panicked reaction.
Because keep in mind, him and Candace are both from Cleveland, coincidentally.
Oh wow, I didn't know
that. Yeah, it works out for both of them. They're both Browns fans. That part sucks for them.
Yeah, can't win them all.
Probably not till next year, but that's a different story for a different day. Anyways, continue.
So basically, this was the again. I think this our fears are realized that, and the kicker is Hunter had no idea this call up was happening. It just kind of happened.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing. Cause so Vince calls Matt Bloom and says, "Send me your four best guys." I wish that Bloom would have just been like, "Fuck, I'm not taking any opportunities. You can have Tito Savarelli. You can have Aaliyah."
Could you imagine if they sent those to Vince, what Vince would do?
He's like, "These are the best guys, eh?" Well, Tito Savarelli, he would have believed it.
Look at him.
He's jacked.
This is just one of those situations where you're like, oh, so all our fears are realized. There is no long-term plan. And the other thing that I heard was they were brought in as kind of hopefully because everyone else is so degraded for being a top guy. They have to bring in new guys and build them up and hope that they're top guys because they feel like they've killed everyone else. I mean, Strowman... He does have a draw, but he's felt a little less lately. Like, everyone that you thought they could build around, they found a way to cool off. And part of the response was, let's bring other guys up. Because you guys can't fix the problems that you have, so why not bring in more people?
Exactly, why not? Like, that's the simple answer for all this, correct?
Yeah, it's not figuring out your booking or creative or production or how to get guys over organically, fighting the organic guys that are over, waiting too long. I don't want to turn this podcast into what Monday's show was, but nevertheless, that's the reason. So we'll wait and see if they show up.
Yeah, well, and the reason was because Seth was hurt. But how does he not know Seth is hurt? And, like, just because Seth is hurt, and, like, and what did you say? Because he thought people were not over or whatever?
Yeah.
Like, just, you now have ruined, not ruined these guys, but, and I think putting them on SmackDown, that makes less sense, because who's hurt on SmackDown?
No one. It almost like, well, they're here, so let's just keep using them.
Well, I mean, Ali is, and, like, I've pointed out, too, I don't know where Ray is, but whatever. So what does Seth hurt? Seth's been hurt since the Rumble. It's been a month. Yeah. You have so many other talents on that show. You could have filled those time slots up. You could have just done Finn and Leo again. It was one of the highest Raws ranked, by the way, of the year. And the viewership was up. So I don't know if that had to do with the leak of the NXT talent coming there or not.
Well, I also think that because WWE typically gets a nice little runoff from a pay-per-view.
There's no competition. They had no NBA. They had no baseball. They have no football to worry about. No award show. Nothing this week. And this will be the last week they don't compete against the NBA. Because now it's full steam ahead for NBA. And then NHL playoffs start as well soon. So it's really the first week they have no major competition. So really, if you have a shitty show, you have a shitty show. It hasn't been a problem in the past. Why call these guys up here? Because next week people are going to be like, because I doubt we're not going to see these guys next week then, right?
I don't know. No, there's no clarity on that. That's the thing. This is a situation where it's like, are we going to see that? I mean, DIY pinned the tag team champions, so they should technically get a title shot, should they not?
And they beat the third best tag team the last 5 years, second best tag team the last few years. If New Day or Usos are 1 and 2, then the Bar's 3. And if not, the Bar could be 1 as well.
Yeah, they'd be both of them.
So what's the point of that?
Yeah, like Black beating Almost is a guy that's cooled off again. I don't know. This, to me, as a wrestling fan, it would just been better to leave well enough alone. and have them come up after Mania when you have some set plans and you're not in the midst of this road to WrestleMania and it's not this whole, like, well, what's going on situation. It's more, okay, we're moving forward with this. You guys are coming up the night after, and we're going to help build around you and you and you. And we're going to start building you guys up. We'll put you in the mid-card scene, and we'll start building you guys up, and we'll give you guys, we'll start building you guys up as big stars for us. It's simple.
You would think so.
Speaking of simple, NXT tonight. It's a wonder that they're the same company.
It really is.
It's more crazy now than ever. That hour of NXT flies by, where 3 hours of Raw feels like I should just stick my head into a blender and just turn it on and cut my hair that way, or play Tommy Ball. Those would probably be more enjoyable than certain aspects of Monday Night Raw. SmackDown's all right. I like SmackDown. But it just... NXT was good tonight. You got the build for a future program. You have established a new tag team in Black and Ricochet, or a partnership. You established what the big NXT announcement was with the Dusty Rhodes Classic. And Josh, who walked out with the North American title?
The Dream. It was all a dream.
So anytime you thought Johnny was going to win, it was all but a lie.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of Dream getting the title?
I think it's the right time. I mean, obviously, we kind of want the end to this Johnny and Ciampa feud to happen. And he can't. I also just don't understand the point of Johnny having it for 4 weeks.
I feel like it was...
I would rather just... It seems like they have this idea where there's Ricochet and Black team, which I think is going to lead to Ricochet and Black matches, which I'm not opposed to, but it... I would have rather just Dream of beat Ricochet then. It just makes no sense, just the hot shot, the title. It didn't really add anything to the Ciampa and the Johnny storyline to me. I guess just it's... They want to have the idea now, if Johnny wins the title, he'll be the first NXT talent to have all three titles.
Yeah, I think that was probably it. I think that's probably was the thinking. That is definitely one of the more questionable parts. I'm happy
for... The first NXT Grand Slam champion.
He did admire Sean, so...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
And he's technically... You and I did a thing last night looking at who's main evented the most NXT pay-per-views. And Ciampa and Johnny each have 5. So, without getting into too much spoilers, but come on, if you have half a brain to watch NXT, you know it's going this way. It'll be 6 at Mania.
Yes.
And then the question will be, who will Johnny face afterwards? And that'll put him to the top of the most main events of all time.
Yep.
And that'll put him into 7 main events at the very least in NXT history.
For a tag team that was a throw together nothing tag team, it's become one of the big staples of NXT, and I know that some people have been a little have soured on it, but I'm looking forward to the conclusion of this. This is definitely the time to finish this off now more than ever. There's zero reason to stretch it out. And I mean, giving the North American title to Dream is really smart, because the reality is Dream's still another year and a half, 2 years away from getting called up.
Yeah.
He should absolutely stay down and continue his story in NXT, because I just think he's going to learn more with being the center focus of NXT than he would drowning in the mess that the main roster is, because you can see there are guys that are probably more talented than the Velveteen Dream that are just struggling on the main roster. I just feel like this is Dream's chance to really grow as a performer and get to that next level. So when he gets into that main roster, he's got a ton more experience. He's super young already, so it's just getting him into that nice phase and just tying a rocket to his back and sending him to the moon.
By the way, what does it tell you Matt Bloom sent those four and Adam Cole is not one of those? Does that mean anything to you, or he Bloom didn't want to debut Cole without Undisputed?
You're absolutely hit one of the nails on the head. I absolutely think that they want to keep Undisputed altogether. And I also think that there's probably some sort of unwritten agreement. Because I think they have I think they know Vince well enough to know that Vince would eventually come to try to rob them of talent. Mm-hmm. And I think they probably have an unwritten rule that Cole is not to be touched.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's any knock on Cole. I think Cole is absolutely one of their pet projects moving forward, and I think he will absolutely be if things go the way I think I will, he will probably end up being NXT champion by SummerSlam.
Yeah, like Dream, I get because he's still pretty young. I like Dream needs some time still to get some stuff. Like in the ring, he's still learning quite a bit, right? Like, I mean, this is a guy fresh as the PC. I mean, Dream could go to the main roster and be super entertaining, but I still think he needs a little bit of seasoning. Those four they sent up are the absolute best. It still makes no sense if you wanted to, you know, spice up the show. I still don't understand the Black and the Elias 50-50 booking match, and I don't understand Black beating Andrade. I don't understand either one of those booking decisions.
Yeah.
Like, just kick the face off of Elias, and then on the Andrade one, great match. Don't get me wrong, there was like a 3.5 star match. But I don't like Andrade losing right now.
No, I don't either.
Because he was starting to build up some momentum. And now with Rey being gone off TV, he's starting to jump back to, he's like, oh, it's Andrade, he's whatever. And yeah, making him lose like that didn't help. To a guy that's probably more than definitely not going to be on SmackDown next week.
Yeah.
So that's what I don't get. And maybe the entire idea of this is that he's just going to beat R-Truth next week and win the title, because that's how they book stuff. So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he could, by next year's WrestleMania, Andrade could be a 2-time U.S. champion.
Yeah, all we know. So
it's really within the realm of possibility. The other thing with NXT is one of the storylines moving forward, heading into NXT New York, we now found out how we're going to get to the end for the tag teams on who's going to challenge.
Should we do that at the end for spoilers?
Well, I don't want to. We're not going to do the spoiler half of it. We're only going to do the four that got announced.
Right.
We're spoiler free on this front, because I almost want to kind of just let NXT happen as it goes.
Yeah, proceed.
So they've officially announced the Dusty Rhodes Classic.
That was the big announcement.
Yeah. There are 8 teams that are going to be competing for... there's 8 teams. 4 have been announced. 4 are surprises. I think you can guess at least 2 of those teams. But the 4 confirmed are Undisputed / Red Dragon, Forgotten Sons, Street Profits, and Eichner and Barthel?
Yeah.
Yay, I got it. So, out of the 4 teams that have been announced, who do you like?
I mean, you know I'm high on the Street Profits. I'm really high on them.
Could this be the time for them to shine?
I don't think it will be, because I also know the spoilers. So, but I... You know, seeing them at that taping last week, you can definitely see the time in Evolve has been really good for them. Forgotten Sons, they have done a good job of building up their gimmick. They're okay in the ring. I'm not as entertained by them. I actually like the Loney team a lot more, and I like the Eichner one a lot more personally than Forgotten Sons.
Yeah.
I think that Eichner and Burchill one is super talented. I think Eichner's another guy that really was generated some positive buzz by being down in Evolve and being their champion. And that team with Oney Lorcan and who's the other guy? Danny Burch?
Yep.
I really like that team. And I'd love to see that team against the Revival. I think they would just beat the crap out of each other.
See, that's the thing. The tag team division in NXT is not weak at all.
No.
We know the spoilers. and the other teams in here just elevate this. This is going to be a fun tournament to watch. And
for sure. I mean, it's going to be better than, I think, ones past. Like, the last good one was, it didn't end the way that we thought it would. That's the one that had TM6 won in the finals.
Yeah.
Against, Office who was Payne. It? Which was, you know, we saw that in Toronto in person. That's when they had the Shark Cage. And I think it was Shane Thorne that did the crazy spot.
Yeah.
Was the other one?
Okay. One of them jumped, and it was crazy.
Right. And that was probably the spot of that match. But, like, some of the teams you had in there were like, oh, why is that team not going for it? And we almost had Ibushi and Kenta in that. And then Kenta got hurt. So that was a heartbreaker. Because that would have been pretty cool to see Kenta and Kota together as a team.
Well, I think the finish was going to be Ibushi and Kenta versus Aries and Roddy. And then Aries really? Got hurt. And then...
Kenta got hurt.
Yeah. And then Ibushi just got lost in an airport.
Yeah, pretty much. So, yeah, you know, cool to have the Dusty Classic. I mean, my mind and your mind had wandered a little bit far when we heard huge announcement.
Oh,
and
boy.
The two big huge announcements this week were just tournaments. So maybe downplay when you say huge announcement, WWE. Just be like an announcement. Don't say huge or major. Was it major?
Well, it was huge.
Right. Don't use that wording because this was a nice announcement. It's not a huge announcement because people have these NXT talents on SmackDown and Raw. And they're thinking, holy shit, is this the third brand? There's been buzz of this going to FS1. Are they going to 2 hours? That's what people expect when you hear huge announcement. Not Dusty Rhodes is back, which is great tournament. I love it. And I love that it's honoring Dusty. But maybe watch your phrasing. Like in the words of Archer, phrasing.
So over under that Cody's there to present the trophy.
Under.
Under, yeah. Okay.
Under.
Like, him and Tony Khan will come out together to present it, right?
I would love them to just do a deal where he can be Cody Rhodes. It's just stupid.
Apparently he can be, but he's chosen not to.
Oh, okay. Like, he could just be Cody Reynolds. Who cares?
I think he just likes being Cody. See, that's the WWE in him. That's the Vince in him. Taking away his last name himself.
Which, by the way, Goldust changed his name today on Twitter to Dustin Reynolds, I believe.
And it means nothing. He has said that.
And
himself.
He said it means nothing. Did he change it to Dustin Reynolds or Dustin Rhodes?
I think it was Dustin Reynolds.
Mm-hmm. Anything else on that front, Joel?
Worth checking out. Some good matches. Mia Yim had a good match. Roddy and Black had a great match. Riddle sat down and was interviewed by, I believe, Jeremy Borash, and you can watch that on YouTube. So that's the first time we've seen Borash on camera.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
a big deal.
That's trippy.
Weird seeing him in a WWE environment.
Yeah. And it is Dustin Rhodes.
Dustin Rhodes, okay.
So there we go.
That was probably the biggest loss of impact that they had, to be honest.
Yeah,
losing Borash. That was huge. Because that's kind of where I felt like the company just completely changed now.
I feel like Borash, like, you can see the creativity from Borash bleeding into NXT more and more. Mm-hmm. Every time they have a broadcast, every time they have a new superstar, and every time Borash really gets to sink his teeth in, like, yeah, I'm really interested to see what they do with Riddle.
Mm-hmm.
Shifting gears, and I'm gonna walk away for a second and let you cover this next one. But this is your thing, Josh. This is yours. I'm putting you over, unlike the next story would probably do.
Well, let me tell you something, dude. Is that where we're going?
Gene.
Well, let me tell you something, brother. I've been swinging and banging over the seas, and now I got my own biopic, dude. Yeah, man.
And it's on Netflix, apparently.
Yeah, so here's a surprise for you, because I didn't tell you this, and I wanted to get your reaction. So currently, the movie is being, they're in the midst of closing with Netflix, as reported by The Hollywood Reporter.
Mm-hmm.
The producer, The man producing this will be Michael Sugar, the Academy Award winner behind Spotlight, who will produce via Netflix-based Sugar 23, and Phillips and Bradley Cooper, who will produce via their Banner joint effort. Also producing will be Hemsworth himself and Eric Bischoff.
But, you know what Todd Phillips and Bradley Cooper recently produced together?
What?
A Star is Born.
I'm interested in the Bischoff wrinkle.
Here's the thing. All jokes aside from that laugh, Bischoff actually has produced some decently quality. Like he's been in television at least. I guess if he's done decent TV, but he's been in television, and he has his own television company. He does a lot of reality shows and other shows that I'm not really familiar with. But at least he's been in that realm, and he knows Hogan.
That's a big part. My only thing is, as we've learned from the 23-week podcast, Bischoff likes to exaggerate things. Mm-hmm. So I do wonder how much of this biopic on Hogan, which will star Thor, which I think is a good get. I think having Chris Hemsworth as the lead is a
I like everyone involved with it. I'm not huge on Todd Phillips, but not knowing that Bradley Cooper's now there and the fact that they work together on A Star is Born, as of recording this, has a chance to win the Oscar this Sunday, that makes me a lot more positive about the film, to be completely honest, to know that Bradley Cooper's with there, because Bradley, I think he did a tremendous job in his first attempt to direct with A Star is Born, and him and Todd Phillips really work well together. Half the reason that Todd Phillips was a producer on A Star is Born is because he gave Bradley a chance in the first Hangover, and Bradley always remembered that, so now they kind of have a partnership together. So at least having Bradley Cooper on that project is very positive to me. He also was part of that Limitless show, Bradley Cooper, which people liked, and he takes a strong inspiration from Clint Eastwood as a director. So I do not hate the idea that at least Bradley Cooper is attached to this. The Bischoff twirl is interesting, no doubt about it. Like you said, I stopped listening to his podcast because he exaggerates things, and that's already what Hulk Hogan does in his own right. We've heard that he was the leader of the Rolling Stones. We've heard that Andre was 500 pounds to 900 pounds. We've heard that he sold out Madison Square Garden more than Bruno, which isn't true. So there's those accelerations and stuff. But all of that said, I really do like that Bradley Cooper's producer on that. That makes me a lot more confident in this picture.
I'm interested to see how much, because you can have Stan Lee's an executive producer on all Marvel movies.
Yeah, well, it's just the fact that Phillips and Bradley work so close together. That's the thing.
That probably helps it. I mean, let's be honest. There's several reasons why we do this podcast. And mm-hmm. one of the reasons we got the chance to do this podcast was because of the rise of Hulkamania, which this movie will be centered around. Mm-hmm. I know Hogan has a tumultuous history, and it's very rocky, and it's here, there, and everywhere, but at the end of the day, Hogan is one of the pioneers for professional wrestling, especially what it is now.
So surprisingly, he has not tweeted about this at all.
I wonder what his involvement is with this. I wonder what WWE's involvement with this is.
I don't know, you want to know the last tweet that Hogan had?
What's that?
It's a picture with him and Jamie Foxx. And he said, I could do it in a Hogan voice, but it's a little late. I have to do it in the Hogan voice. Me and Jamie are really tired of the back and forth crap with the titles. From the Shane and Miz connection, the Bar, the Usos, NXT teams, etc. Brother. He didn't say brother, I'm just adding that. The Fox Hollywood Real Estate West Coast connection is coming to take the Raw and SmackDown titles, brother. So he's forming a team with Jamie Foxx.
Well, Moving on.
So I kind of, all scenes aside, I don't hate the idea of Mania, Hogan and Jamie Foxx for Shane and Miz. I kind of want that now. I'm sorry. I kind of want that match.
Everything's already paid for New York. No, don't do this to me.
That's the main event. It's the main event. Sorry, Becky. This is the main event.
Hogan's got to get put over one more time.
Has Jamie Foxx really been in a lot of action movies?
I don't know.
I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole. We'll save that for another day. We have too much to cover. But yeah, that's the last tweet Hogan said. We'll see if he's involved in it. We have to see if WWE's involved in it, because you're going to have to think, because they have to be involved in it in many ways, because they own the rights to AWA, I believe. Could be wrong. Have to double check on that. But I know at least they own the tape library. So I'm assuming, much like with ECW and other properties, that they own everything else that comes with AW. Do we know if Fern sold them everything?
I don't know.
So we'll have to see that. But that's where that's where it really started. So I wonder if they'll tell that story. And then, like, my idea of the story would be, and I wish we had Mo on for this part, because he'd be a little bit better with the historian on this. But my best guess is, and it's funny, and maybe we should release it now, Joel. We did, like, a video thing a while ago on the history of Hulk Hogan that we never released. Maybe we should just put the audio out on that. Who knows? But he was in WWF for a bit, I believe, right? And then he went to did Rocky, right?
Yes. Rocky caused the rift between him and Vince Sr.
Yeah, so then he did Rocky. Well, Vince said, don't do Rocky, and then he did Rocky anyways. And then Vince Sr. got rid of him. Then he went to the AWA. And then, because before that, he was just a rocker dude. He was not Hulkamania. Then Hulkamania becomes something in AWA. And then Vince Jr. does his thing and sees where the territories are going and wants to end that and start his own thing. And then he gets Hogan and gets Andre and Gene and all that exodus from AWA. And then we have the stuff with the Sheik. So my question is, do you think – I think it has to end at Andre, but also you kind of want the mega powers as well. I don't know. Or do you end it – say there's like three places you could end it for me. It's really four. You could end it at him beating Sheik. You could end it at slamming Andre. You could go and do the mega powers and then end with the Warrior beating him. And that's kind of the end of Hulkamania.
I think it needs to be three. Personally.
Yeah. I think that's what sticks out to most people.
So according to Wikipedia, and I'm sure that there's probably a far more reliable source, WWE owns AWA, the name, and all of that.
They can't do this movie without the WWE.
Well, you can't do Hulkamania without WrestleMania. If you call it anything less in the movie, it's going to be less.
He owns Hulkamania rights too, right?
I believe Hogan does.
Right, because he used Hulkamania in TNA, right?
Yeah, I believe he was selling
it. And in WCW as well, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're going to need... I don't think Hulk's going to have a problem giving away his likeness. It's Hogan.
Oh.
He needs the money. But, I mean, Flair would be like, where's my biopic? I could pay off some wives.
Well, a Flair biopic would be rated X, so...
Yes. WWE you need, though, because you can't do AWA and you can't do this without WWF.
And
you just can't do it.
And you've got to deal with getting the rights for the likeness and the look of Andre.
Andre, Piper. So who would we need in this? We need a Piper for sure.
Yeah, Mr. T.
We need an Andre, Mr. T, who probably could just do the role, to be honest. I mean, you just get Rampage to do it again. Rampage did it once. Why can't Rampage do it again?
There we go.
You need a Vince, obviously. You need a Vince Jr. Sr. Do you need Pat?
Maybe in some ways you do.
Do you need Pritchard?
No, I don't think so. Well, well, you need Patterson, because Patterson and Muhammad Ali were the guest referees for WrestleMania 1 with Hogan, T,
right.
Paul Orndorff, and Piper.
And Bob Orton.
Yeah.
You need a Gene.
Yeah, and you need the rights for King Kong Bundy for WrestleMania 2.
They could skip 2, but yeah, they need the rights for King Kong Bundy.
Jimmy Hart.
Yeah, they need Jimmy Hart. Warrior, maybe?
No.
Randy, for sure, at some point. Elizabeth. Ted DiBiase.
Depending on where you end it. Ted DiBiase, yeah, you need Ted.
He's going to still see Randy in the back somewhere, probably.
I wonder, just based on this, could this be a three-part movie series?
It really could. I mean, if you really wanted to do it, you can go to 3, and then you could go until he leaves WWE, and then you could just do WCW till the Rock match and say that's where everything ended.
What, you don't want to talk about what happened in the last 5 to 10 years of Hogan's life?
I mean, you could. I think that's a really interesting movie. If you're just going to focus on the wrestling career, I mean, after the Rock, what's the highlight? The Brock match? Well, getting killed by Brock. And then I don't want to see the Shawn match in a movie screen.
Well, don't you want to see
Well, just get a dead fish flopping around the ring. That's pretty much the equivalent of what Shawn was doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would either end with Warrior or I'd end with Andre. I would like to see the Mega Powers in a movie. Oh. And I think most people, fans that are Hogan fans, want to see that.
I can confirm that Terry Bollea is acting as a consultant on the movie, as well as executive producer.
Okay.
So.
Well, brother, Andre was so big, dude.
Maybe that's...
I'm actually going to watch back the Andre doc this week now.
Yeah, and it adds a little bit more.
Don't forget the best part of that Andre doc, though. It's Pat Patterson in his interview. And then there's a painting behind him where the exact same things were in the interview. You've noticed that, right?
Yeah.
You know what it was? It was banana.
Oh, God.
This movie is going to be... I mean, Fighting With My Family is 90% Rotten Tomatoes. And we know everything that GLOW has gotten. So this is something that has opened up. For the world of movies is the world of wrestling. I do have to ask the question, though, because I know we have a lot of African-American listeners that listen to this, is are you isolating out a crowd that doesn't want anything to do with this guy by celebrating him? Is it weird that we're going to celebrate Hogan for being so gross?
Well, my thing is with this movie, we all joking aside, this is going to absolutely be a PR piece for Hogan, because he's going to look good. Do not expect any dirt or mud to be on Hogan's face. Expect everything to be this, especially with Hogan being, Terry Bollea, because Terry Bollea and Hulk Hogan are two different people, brother.
Well, and Hogan has a giant dick. Terry Bollea doesn't.
Oh, man.
That was the thing that happened in court.
Man, the things you say under oath.
Well, this press tour, I'm more excited for the press tour when this starts. Hopefully Hogan, just the way that we see some of these guys unfortunately pass away, I hope Hogan's alive for this press tour. Because that press tour, if I was a reporter, oh man, he's going to need the best PR, and I'm sure he already has them, right? But he's going to be asked about that tape at every press junket.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's going to be asked about that court hearing at every press junket. So he has 2 years to get ready. I mean, maybe even a year. I guess next year, Netflix, we get the greatest wrestler of all time, arguably, and the greatest basketball player of all time having documentaries on Netflix.
I think he's the greatest wrestler of all time, but that's a can of worms for another day.
Debatable. I the two people that define their sport the most. Fair? If people think wrestling for the most part, they're going to think of Hogan. People think of basketball, they're thinking of Jordan.
I'm going to let this one slide. We'll go back to this. But back to your original question, I think that you need to go in realizing that this is going to make Hogan look good. Hogan will not be a part of something that will make Hulkamania look bad.
No.
So the reality is that's what's going to be, and I absolutely think this you're isolating a certain demographic.
Do you think that's why it goes to Netflix, is to not deal with people who didn't want to show up to the theater because of Hogan and his past?
Well, do you really have to do a press junket for it now? Because if it's going out on Netflix...
I mean, yes and no. I mean, he'll maybe do like a Kimmel or something then, right? Because, I mean, you still see people that are promoting like Glow. Go like Alison Brie would go on a show to promote Glow, and same with Marc Maron. And I'm sure when Stranger Things comes back, we'll do like stuff with those kids. And then as far as movies, I'm pretty sure Jennifer Aniston did some stuff for Dumplin'.
Yeah. See, this Netflix is venturing into a new territory with more and more original movies.
Right. Did Sandra Bullock promote Bird Box? She had to have, right?
Yeah, but I think she was also... I don't really remember her doing a lot of press for it.
Yeah, but I think it was more afterwards.
Yeah. So I wonder if this kind of doesn't go over well.
Right, then. And look at The Fighting for My Family. The producer on that's The Rock, where... Rather the movies are one way or the other, whether they're never truly absolutely horrible, they end up just being fun movies. He's had a rough run at the box office lately. We'll see how Fighting With My Family does this week. I really do, again, before we wrap this up, because we got so much more news to do, I do like that Bradley Cooper's attached to it. And you know, if Bradley Cooper wins that Oscar this week, well, he won't win it for director, right? But if Bradley Cooper or Stars Born win, then they will attach that, being like, Oscar winner Bradley Cooper producing this. They'll attach that to it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Anything to help push it over the edge.
But that doesn't always mean anything, because going forward, we're going to have to hear, at the very least, Oscar-nominated Melissa McCarthy.
And that's where we end it, brother.
And don't get me wrong, I saw a little bit of that movie. My folks were watching it the other day when I stopped by their house. She's really good in that movie. Really is really, really good in that movie. Like, hats off to her. She deserves the nomination. But that's until we see her do whatever comedy she does next. So, anyways. Yeah. So that's the Hogan news is surprising. And, I mean, if this one works... We just want the biopic we've all wanted. Just give us Vince. Or Monday Night Wars. Is that a movie to you, or is that a miniseries?
That's like Band of Brothers, HBO yeah. series.
Right.
I mean, we hardly mention his name, but the movie was in limbo, but the Benoit movie, this could grease the wheels for something like that to rear its ugly head again.
The weird thing about that is WWE won't give their likeness to it at all.
Okay.
And they won't give the likeness to WCW or ECW for that. And then it's just a question of, do the Malenkos and the Malenko probably won't, because he works for WWE, right?
Yeah. Jericho won't.
Well, I doubt Jericho will, and I doubt Elite would let him.
Yeah.
Bad. It's just overall bad or weird PR.
Yeah. See, and that's the thing. You've got some good and you're bad. Like, that's my only fear as a wrestling fan, is these movies start to pick up and you start seeing stuff and you start seeing some cool stuff, but then people start focusing solely on the negative. And it's not just showing the negative and not showing the negative, but showing reality, the good and the bad. But it's hyper-focusing on the negative and then just... being almost like a hit job on professional wrestling, of like, see, mm-hmm. see, like, I mean, we talked about it a bit, but the how the news handled the Benoit situation and some of the things that came out from that, of just people coming out and saying some stupid things that nearly took down professional wrestling. Someone in Hollywood could be like, ooh, this would be a fun story, and it's just. It's going to be interesting, but if this Hogan biopic does well, this could lead to more.
Yeah, that will be very interesting. His movies are interesting, and you won't have to wait too long to see Hogan, because I'm pretty sure you're going to see him on Monday.
Got to be there to say happy birthday, brother.
Yeah. What's next, Joel?
Well, what you know what? I missed one part of the Hogan. I just have one question. Just one question. Who plays Vince? Because you can't have a Hogan movie without Vince.
Timothy Olyphant is my pick.
You pick him. I'll say I don't have a pick yet. I'm gonna start doing some research on who would be a good Hogan.
Vince Sr. I don't know who. I do have one for Vince Sr. too. I thought of actually now that I remember that.
Who?
John Voight.
Ooh.
Yeah, I have these. I've had some ideas for some of these. Randy, I haven't been able to get down yet.
Just get Christian Bell to back up.
Yeah, I mean, Warrior, I don't have. Andre's going to have to be an unknown.
Yeah. This could lead to an Andre movie at some point.
Oh, no, I know who can be Andre. Who? We'll get Nikola Jokic from the Denver Nuggets.
Done.
We'll just put some hair on Jokic. He's already kind of the same size. He's doughy, but randomly really athletic. And now he's already an NBA All-Star. And Jokic can join George Marison as NBA seven-footers to be in movies. If anyone remembers George Marison from the movie with Billy Crystal, My Giant.
I do
which
not.
I'm sure none of no one does.
No. Sorry, Josh. You're on your own on this one.
Junkyard Dog. I don't know, but... I mean, you know, who's that big wrestling fan? Funches?
Yeah.
Ronald? He can play Junkyard Dog. He's kind of the same build as him. I don't know if he has the electricity the Junkyard Dog has, but he kind of looks like JYD.
He does, but I feel he seems very laid back, so.
That's my problem. And Junkyard Dog was just a Junkyard Dog without going too much. Man, that guy was so over. I get it. You don't really need Junkyard Dog. I just kind of see the comparisons there. Warrior, I have no idea if you go that far. DiBiase, I don't know yet. Mean Gene, don't know yet.
You're going to need Mean Gene.
Yeah, but Vince Sr., John Voight, and Vince McMahon, Timothy Olyphant. Do you, and I guess you need a Vern Gagne in there too, hey?
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll need a Vern Gagne as well. They're going to put Bischoff in there then. It's just a random AWA reporter, because that's what he was. He was just a sideline. He was the reporter.
He's going to be the guy that helped give Hogan ideas.
Yeah, something like that.
Brother.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting because, well, we'll be interested to see what Fighting With My Family's like, because we know, I mean... We know liberties will be taken with the story. If you like accuracy in wrestling stories, I can already tell you from the one clip I saw for Fighting With My Family, it already pissed me off. And I'm going to really have to separate myself from what I know happened to what makes a better movie. Because even in that scene with Zelina Vega and Tessa shot that they put the actors into, number one, the ring gear is all Ron. There's no Tamina. The Titantron has the LED Titantron. It's not the regular Titantron. And the gear. Like, how hard is it to give her booty shorts and the spider t-shirt? How hard is that?
Apparently very hard.
Like, they own the rights to that AJ stuff, correct?
Well, yeah, WWE does.
And I really doubt Paige had a cutout of the Divas title. It was probably the woman's title. Anyways... We're going to see the movie sometime next week, and we'll talk about it. Zelina looks great as AJ Lee, but that whole scene there really annoyed me. So I'm going to just try not to think about Paige being best friends with The Rock before she's even a big deal.
This is kind of fun to just let you go.
And Vince Vaughn being this guy, Ron Hutchinson. Who the hell is Ron Hutchinson? Is it supposed to be Matt Bloom?
I think so.
Why not just have someone be Matt Bloom? Or maybe, would she have been there when Bill DeMont was the coach?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm fine with Ron Hutchinson then. Ron Hutchinson, you're the best.
Okay. Well, let's move on to our little mini story before we get to our big one. But sounds like we know who's going to face Brian at Mania.
Yeah. So there was a rumor the other day that it's not Kofi Mania. So just enjoy the match. At Fastlane, should be a really fun match. The rumor was Kurt Angle, because he's looking for a retirement match. Undertaker, who sidelined just really quickly, Vince is really mad at. And then Sami Zayn, Bray Wyatt, and then the final one was Kevin Owens, and ding, 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 we have a wiener.
KO-mania.
His son spends $20 on popcorn.
Doesn't bring back the change either.
No, it's expensive popcorn. So KO-mania 3 is going to happen, and maybe Owen Owens will be there.
You'd have to think so.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I personally would like to see Kurt, just as a Kurt fanboy. I don't know if Kurt can go as much anymore. It's just a match I've always really wanted. And just as someone that really loves Kurt, I like it to see that way. Obviously, people want Kofi quite a bit, and that would make sense, but come on. That's adorable. KO's fine, really not more than fine. Like, I think KO and Brian could have like a great match, and Brian is really getting this other level, and KO feels so refreshing to see him on TV right now. It's just like a breath of fresh air having him back on television.
Oh yeah.
The brand split, by the way, just is weird right now.
Very weird.
But Fox wants to stay with it. And it'll be interesting when this is a bigger conversation for a bigger day when we don't have as many news stories, but it'll be very interesting what happens at the draft. And then when the shows are split, how much co-promotion really happens. Yeah. Because you got to wonder if NBC is like, that's our guy. And Fox is like, that's our guy. Why are they on that show? So that'll be interesting to see what happens with that.
Yeah.
So, what's else, Earl?
So,
oh yeah, what did you think about that KO and Brian?
I'm happy for KO. I've got no complaints. I think Brian's white hot right now, and you could pair him in that ring with a broomstick, an organic broomstick, mind you. But it would still, I think he could get a quality program out of a broomstick.
I love that they're just leaving the Bobby Lashley thing alone.
Yes. Yeah.
I wonder if Sammy's gonna attack Bobby Lashley then. And team with Finn.
There we go. Mania.
Yeah. Yeah.
No IC title defense. A tag team match instead.
A four-way. Sammy, Finn, Lashley, Leo. Leo wins IC title.
You know what?
Wouldn't be mad at that.
No, neither would I.
What's next?
So, as a Canadian, this is a sad day. As it has been revealed that tomorrow at the Bell Center, the George St. Pierre will be retiring from his career of mixed martial arts. There have been some talks of him coming back to do a match, possibly with McGregor, possibly with Khabib.
Or Silva, who we always thought. But Silva had a match announced today, too, which he needs to stop. Please, Anderson, stop.
Yeah, GSP is 37. He could probably still have another two fights.
But mm-hmm. He doesn't like the direction that company's going.
No, I think that's a big part of why. But there's a wrinkle in all of this. Because while we all think the door is closed, and there it is, Khabib had posted on Instagram, and this is what Khabib had said. Let's do it in November. After this fight, you can retire. I grow up on your fights and have nothing but respect for you. And I believe show that to you, George, when you were in Moscow. But it would be an honor for me to share the octagon with one of the greatest fighters of all time. Let's do it at 155 pounds. Or I give away 5 pounds to you. Because you knew were never, I'm guessing he said, never done 155. Well, mm-hmm. It's your choice, 155 or 60, Montreal, New York City, Moscow, or Dubai. Send me location, my friend. Obviously.
Be great, but it's not going to happen.
No, and Ariel Helwani had reached out to GSP for a comment. And he said, I saw what Khabib wrote, and I appreciate it very much. Unfortunately, these decisions aren't up to us, and I will address everything at the press conference tomorrow. So
Is this a UFC held press conference or a GSP held press conference?
I believe it's a UFC held press conference.
Right.
I believe Dana White will be there.
Hmm. Interesting.
In wrestling, we would expect, if this was wrestling, we'd expect GSP, Khabib to show up with a steel chair and get one last match out of George St. Pierre, but this isn't professional wrestling.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it'll be a really fun match, and, I mean, it's crazy, he came, he won the belt, and then he dropped the belt after being gone for 4 years.
Yeah, he had health issues, which caused him to drop it.
Yeah. You have to wonder if those same health issues have continued and ongoing, and that's kind of what, he's also done some stuff, he watched a lot of professional wrestling. Shawn Michaels was his idol. He's talked to John Pollock about that many times. I don't think he'll go to that realm, but maybe that's someone Fox is looking for the commentator side.
I don't know, because George is one of the first guys to really wear a suit to press conference. George could not sell a fight verbally to save his life.
No.
What drew GSP in... What drew fans into GSP was he's Canadian, so we obviously hold him a little bit closer. But it was it's funny because you could compare him to another Canadian in Brett up to his early career before 96, 97 when Brett found his voice finally. But very kind of boring. But in that ring, there was no one better.
No, and he really never really suffered that big loss when he hit his prime.
No.
And he was that last strand of must-see UFC talent. Connor's still there. We'll see what happens in this next fight. If Connor loses that next fight, we'll see where everything goes. But he not only was he a must-see he was because he was Canadian, and for us here in Canada, it was such a bigger deal. I remember that the last decision when he went to the first quote-unquote retirement or left, where we did think he lost that match.
Yeah.
And people – I was at a big setting, a big like restaurant, bar, or whatever, and people were terrified. And people looked like they were – like Canada had lost a gold medal in a shootout or like we lost a shot at the buzzer because they thought GSP was about to lose. I can't emphasize how much he meant in Canadian sports enough. Like he's not the top Canadian athlete of all time by any means. It's probably Terry Fox is probably the top Canadian athlete of all time. And if you don't know the Terry Fox story, Google it. It's and Steve Nash did a tremendous doc on it, but he's definitely up there as one of the greatest athletes of all time from this country.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you go through his history, and he has two losses to his record. I believe it's two.
And by the way, I know some people are going to chirp me on this. Terry Fox might not be the greatest athlete. I should roll that back. But he is the most inspiring and all that athletically. Who would you say the greatest Canadian athlete is? It's probably Wayne, hey?
I have no idea. That's a whole other can of worms.
I mean, obviously, you go anywhere, NHL. You're going to think of Wayne. Steve Nash is a two-time MVP. We've had our nice share of some really good Canadian athletes over the last few years. So obviously Donovan Bailey is one too. I mean, there's a whole series on it right now here up here in TSN. Kenny Omega apparently is on that list as well. So,
So GSP has 26 wins and two losses, one via knockout and one via submission.
Right. Yeah, he was good. He was really good, and he meant a lot up here in Canada. And I don't follow UFC as closely as I do. Obviously, when stories break, we know that we will break stuff down and give you the best that we can on that world. But they've done such a shit overall job of promoting their stars that he was one of the last ones that if he had a fight, you were going to watch it. Outside of Brock or Ronda returning, who else can you say that about now?
I feel like it's McGregor, Connor.
I know Connor's already there. That's what that he's on the roster.
Yeah.
But people that haven't been there for an extended amount of time, other than Ronda maybe coming out of retirement to do a fight, which I don't think she would do.
No.
Or Brock. I don't know who that person is now.
I don't know. The UFC's
Cormier has his last fight coming up, and then he said he's done.
I don't believe it.
He's punching skulls for Mortal Kombat Science currently. And he did that this week. It's pretty cool. And we have heard the rumors that Fox wants him on the commentary team for SmackDown. So we'll see what happens with Cormier. You got to assume he's going to do another fight with Jones.
Yeah.
And probably Jones is going to break Cormier's heart again by failing a test.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
It's very weird. It's kind of weird to think the end for GSP and just what he meant for Canadians.
Mm-hmm.
And just the state UFC's in. I mean, everything that happened with that UFC card involving Jones. And just the shenanigans that all came from that. And now one of the classiest, most gentleman-like fighters in UFC's history is hanging him up.
Yeah, just all the stuff with Cormier and Jones that's happened, all the stuff that's happened with Rampage in the past, all the stuff that's happened with Conor and Khabib lately, and just Conor, period. And here was a guy that just did it correctly. And even, not that he's done anything wrong, like Anderson Silva is just not as special anymore. So the one thing you can say about GSP, and sometimes athletes don't do this enough. You've seen it in some many sports, right? That sometimes people just hold on too long, just too long. Peyton Manning held on too long, but luckily he was able to walk away with the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Sometimes you hold on for too long, and GSP didn't hold on long enough. He could have held on longer, but he goes out at the pinnacle. Edge from WWE is obviously the same thing, right? Edge had more to give, but Edge ended at this perfect point. It's like you remember Edge being at the top of his game, and he could have done more, and now you're going to see the same with GSP.
Yep, absolutely agree.
What's next, Joel?
That is it.
Actually, Joel, before we go, I do have one last thing. We got a little bit of a peek of MLW Fusion this week.
We did.
And well, we could have stopped at the low-key matches, which looked tremendous. Low-key looked awesome in his headband gear. Who did we see have a hardcore match against the son of Brian Pillman?
Tommy.
The creator of Tommy Ball. Tommy Dreamer against Brian Pillman. Him. Actually, a pretty entertaining hardcore match.
Dude, oh man, I wish I'd saved this. I wish I could find this story. But I remember reading it. But apparently, in WWE ECW, Tommy Dreamer offered to cut off fingers for them to sell some sort of angle. I don't know what angle it was.
Tommy!
And he said it'd be $1 million per finger.
Can we please go in the Hall of Fame this year? Before Christian? Because then it'd be so much funnier.
Tommy Dreamer offered to cut off his own finger live on a WWE paper and wanted $1 million. This is the same guy that wanted a sniper to shoot him on an ECW pay-per-view, and you want to know the guy that talked him out of it?
Paul Heyman?
Terry Funk.
Oh my god. Oh, you know, Tommy, I don't know if that's such a good idea.
Well, apparently someone was almost shot, like they did an angle where someone was almost shot in Funk's old territory, and that almost killed the business. So that's why Funk said no. If it didn't kill the business, then
fuck Tommy. Well, he did create Tommy Ball.
Yeah,
so good job, Tommy. No, but you know, Tommy Dreamer is the only one right now that has the baton to literally be in every company. and no one has a problem with it. He writes for TNA. He works for MLW. He has House of Hardcore. He shows up at ROH and has a tag team match with Bubba Ray. He is on the ENC show. He could probably show up at All Elite if he wanted to as well.
Yeah.
I'd love to know Gato's thoughts on him.
He'd be the new Rainmaker.
Yeah.
I hope he goes.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
There's one last Tommy story, and then we'll get out of here. So yeah. Raven told a story that if Tommy Dreamer found out that he had terminal cancer or found out he had an illness that he knew he would die, he would want Raven to kill him at an ECW show. I guess he felt it would have been great for business.
Oh, Tommy. Do you remember the one time... I don't even know how to really transition out of that. Remember the there was a thing where Jay, someone said that he's a Hall of Famer, and JR mocked that.
No.
He is a Hall of Famer.
Yes.
Cause I mean, look, cat's out of the bag. Joel and I are uneasy. I mean, at least I am. I can't talk for Joel fully. I'm an ECW. I think it did a lot of good things for the business. I'm not a huge hardcore wrestling fan. But Tommy Dreamer is someone that I just, it's hard to not love, first of all, and respect. Tommy is our indie father.
More or less. He just shepherds around everyone else. He's been on BTE.
Yep. He's really, like, the main writer on this season of ENC, too. Like, Edge and Christian have both said that. So, if you like this season of ENC more, it's because of Tommy.
Tommy. If Tommy ever goes in the Hall of Fame, that's all he's going to hear for his whole speech.
My favorite thing is Tommy said that when he was on ENC, and he did Tales from the Indies, that he said that now every time he goes to a house show, he's like, I used to go to a house show, and people would be like, ECW, or like, you're effing crazy or whatever, or something like that, right? Or like, you sick fuck, right? Now he's like, all they chant to me is Tommy. But I do find it, I would find it hilarious if Tommy goes in the Hall of Fame before Christian.
It'll happen, because Christian never put a blue dot on his face.
Yeah, maybe he can do it at the Hall of Fame, and Vince's like, yes, finally!
I think that's what we call it.
So yeah, thanks everyone for listening. For all three shows this week, we... love bringing you content. We're working on, we got some more throwback shows. I know you guys really enjoyed those, so keep an eye on that. Working on getting more independence and broadening the horizon out. Again, not sponsored by them by any means, but go check out the Grapple app. You can find both me and Joel on there and follow us and let us know impact on the podcast, impact on following matches, and make sure you go to We Talk Podcast to find everything you do. You can find other collaborations I've done on my feed, which is Fresh Take Network, where we have stuff on entertainment, on the NBA, all types of sports. And, of course, make sure you go and check out everything on that Stick Boy feed. Tremendous content there by Joel Johnson and everyone that he brings onto his podcast. And thanks, everyone, for listening. It's been a busy 3 weeks. We will see you next week unless something crazy happens this week. Until next time, cheers.
Tommy.
Enjoy the day, brother.
Goodbye. And good night.